This is quite frankly astonishing.
Yes.
Astonishing. Stunning.
Oh, I like big words.
Don't be shocked.
Good morning. It's the morning reboot. We'll get to that in 1 second. July 23rd, Tuesday. July 23rd, Tacos and Trivia Tuesday. Maybe with the tacos, the Taco Tuesday song to start us off. We will do Lion King trivia right after 6 o'clock. Some friends from Harbor will drop by because they have Harbor Night Golf coming up in about, call it a little bit less than a month, which is a very cool event to help them out. Also, when you have dating anxiety because you don't know when you're sure to start dating once again. Boy, my words are really messy this morning. My apologies.
It's all good.
Our friend Jeffy McGee will be here to play the trailer game in the Brad Pitt, Leonardo DiCaprio movie with Quentin Tarantino. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood comes out. So a filled 8 o'clock hour, a filled 7 o'clock hour with prizes that will start just after 6 as we do a first time ever 6 a.m. or 6 o'clock hour, panel full of ladies. So a little bit after 6 o'clock, your first chance to answer some questions if you're a lady and win some prizes here on the Morning Reboot. We're brought to you by Mike Buck State Farm. You can get in touch with us via text. Good morning to the early texters, 419-240-1055. You can call that number as well when we give you the cue to call a little bit after 6 again for our very first 6 a.m. hour. Panel full of ladies, good morning. 536, it's Eric Chase and the one and only Super Mario Bro Floyd.
Hi, it's me. I'm excited for tacos and trivia today.
Lion King.
I was already just laying in bed last night just marinating in it. I was like, oh, this might be the first time that I'm like, that's it. That's the answer. That's it. Got it.
I think the difficulty, I've tried to ask easier questions the last couple of Tuesdays. Mm-hmm. I think the level of difficulty is a little more this week. So you're going to have to be very proficient in your Lion King knowledge.
Which is fair. Like, that's fine because I feel like the Lion King is like one of those popular animated films that's become a cult classic, which is why I think a lot of people were up in arms about the live remake and comparing it to the original. So I think we got this.
Okay.
Well, I know I got it. I don't know about anyone else.
We'll see. That's shortly after 7 o'clock. Good morning. It's Eric and Floyd, Q105. I am astonished because you came in and said, I did not do my homework yesterday.
I did. I know. I put my foot in my mouth. I was like, you know what? I want to know what those other songs were.
Floyd said that we didn't finish yesterday's music mix, and we did not. It's even on today's show sheet. We'll probably get into it in our second segment. Let me,
because I got two yesterday.
You did. And the fifth song, the last song, might be too hard.
It just kind of came out of nowhere. Yeah,
we'll get to it. I promise, and I'll have to dig up the correct answers somewhere, because I might have deleted that email to myself. Maybe it'll be in my sent mail. It's Eric and Floyd. You can text the show, good morning, if you want, 419-240-1055. Let me add a little bit more context to my triggering Facebook post last night, because the Mr. Rogers trailer is out.
Let me tell you.
Let me add some context. Actually, let me give you some of the trailer if you're one of the few who have not seen it.
Hello, neighbor.
Hey, I'm...
All right, so it's Tom Hanks as Mr. Rogers. A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood comes out in November.
And I'm to get back to your subject, a lot of people like saw it and they're like, I'm not crying, you're crying. I didn't think it was sad.
Well, I should have thought twice, because I had the thought, and then I was just going to text you, but I'm like, let's have the discussion online. Mm-hmm. And we know, as recently from the Ariel discussion, when you F with people's childhood, with people's childhoods, they get very upset mm-hmm. and very emotional. And here was the genesis of me saying, I think Mr. Rogers is overrated. Now, I for the most part, I'm careful with words.
Mm-hmm.
Nowhere in there does it say, I hate Mr. Rogers.
Right.
Nowhere in there does it say, I think Mr. Rogers sucks. I think he's a little bit overrated. And because the genesis of the thought was, do I have something on my chin?
Yeah, it's right here. There we go. You're good.
Thanks.
That's what I'm here for.
You could have just told me.
It's still there. Yeah. But you keep going. Keep going, Mr. Rogers.
I was never drawn to the show much when mm-hmm. I was a kid. In fact, the Neighborhood of Make-Believe creeped me the hell out. The king and all.
Like, that lady with the red nose.
Like, that lady creeped Elaine. Me out. Mm-mm. When I think of my childhood and watching PBS, I was far more drawn to Sesame Street. And that was it. Like, I couldn't remember why I didn't spend more time with Mr. Rogers, than I did Sesame Street. And then I wake up this morning and I see people talking. And I know, like, I even put, like, this dude is one of, like, the 90th percentile of human beings to have ever lived.
Yeah.
I did not slam Mr. Rogers.
You did. And also, you directed it towards me, because we've had this dialogue before, and I get where you were coming from, and I'm sure you got my sarcasm, and I was like, you monster.
Yeah.
And apparently, my comment didn't make it any better, because everyone's like, you're attacking, and like, I was like, you guys, is it, he just thinks he, like, I know, because how I was raised, and my thought process, period, with the T, period, that you weren't attacking. Like, I was like, I read every comment, and like, the gifts were funny. Those made me giggle. But I was like, he just thinks he's overrated. There's nothing wrong with, that's like when I am with my girlfriends and they, back in the day, they would talk about Sex in the City. I'm like, that show's so overrated. Or like, you know, but like, it's like you said, when you start nitpicking at people's child, not even nitpicking, that's not even a good word. When you have an opinion about someone that impacted someone in one, some way or another, people get up in arms about it. But that's the good thing about the way the world works. And I'm going to defend you. I understood that Mr. Rogers was not a real person. It is art. It is up for debate.
He is.
I mean, but like the show, you're talking about the show, like the world of make-believe, like him walking in, changing his shoes, Mr. McFeely with the mailman, Mr. McFeely, you know what I mean? His persona on the screen. You as a young child were just like, this is not for me. That is fine. In no way did you say he was. I remember growing up, the rumors like he was gay, he was a pedophile, or he was what was the other myth? He's like a Navy person with tattoos up his arms. Like, you remember all those like things you heard? Like, you never dogged him. So that's why, like, when people were like, they just jumped down your throats. And I was like this morning I'd look pooping. I was reading through the comments like, what the hell? I was like, what did we open?
And it spanned ages, so it's not a matter of young people being sensitive, because it was, again, when you go after somebody's childhood, they get very protective.
He was popular when my mom was younger.
Yep. I mean, I think the show goes back even like to the 60s, I believe. And this show dives into his background of, I think he was a Presbyterian, and the church was deeply involved in his life. Yeah, there's so many documentaries.
I love Mr. Rogers. I watched that documentary. I think there were two on Netflix, one on Hulu at the time.
So this thing comes out in November, and it will show you that this was not any kind of facade, or he was not fraudulent in any way.
Right.
Like, Mr. Rogers putting on his sweater and his Keds or whatever was the same guy that you'd see in the boss. We're going to listen to the entire trailer
that part
later on.
Feels a bit.
It really was. Yeah. So I'm not calling him, I'm not saying he's, but I was more drawn to Sesame Street, and having slept on this, to wrap up our first segment, I think it was because I was very fortunate. I would put my upbringing over anybody's when it comes to parenting. I adore my parents. I think I'm more fortunate than most people to have been brought up the way that I was. And I did not need, though it's helpful, I didn't need Mr. Rogers to show me caring, kindness, and other traits, because I was fortunate enough to learn that from my parents. And maybe that's a very psychological way of guessing as to why I didn't, you know, I didn't love the show as opposed to Sesame Street, which was more fun. There was learning involved. And I take from that, I'm very fortunate that I did like Sesame Street as much as I did, because it showed me that the world has many shapes, sizes, and colors.
Right.
And not to have bias towards any of them.
Right. And even like, I liked Sesame Street and Mr. Rogers. And what we're not going to do is act like that I wasn't a child raised by Fraggle Rock. So I don't care. I mean, you can't compare the two. Like, that's what I mean. Like, it's PBS.
You can, because it's PBS TV. They were often on back-to-back.
But I also, they were often on back-to-back, but I was often that kid who watched both. You know what I mean? So,
And I think most people did.
And Facebook warriors. I was just like, y'all need to calm the F down. And they kept going. Like, you know, it just kept going. Like, normally it just fizzles out after an hour or two. But no, I think the last one I checked this morning was like 2 hours ago. I said, why are you still awake? Is this weighing so heavy on your heart? It's a good trailer. And if you're going to see it, you're going to see it. But here's the thing, though. The Mr. Rogers on TV is the Mr. Rogers in real life. So
And much like with Lion King, there should be no surprises with how the Mr. Rogers stories play Mr. Rogers.
Don't spoil the movie. We know how this ends.
He doesn't get the TV show in the movie. Good morning. 5:45 here on Q105 with The Morning Reboot. Got a boy back. 5:46. Make that 5:47 now on Q105, The Morning Reboot. It's Eric Chase and Floyd. Good morning. It's good to have you with us a little bit after, in less than half an hour, a very early panel full of ladies. We'll get your calls, three lady callers to answer some ladies, some female-centric questions that we put together. And we've got prizes for you as well. So before 6:15, we'll do that Q105. Yesterday, as Floyd so...
I just saw the show sheet. I'm like...
As Floyd so painfully or ignorantly mentioned, before we got on the air, we didn't finish the music mix yesterday. No, we did not. Go!
And I got these bad headphones on today.
The first song is what?
I got it yesterday. Why am I drawing a blank? Oh, it was that Billie Eilish creature.
Bad guy. Third song was Stressed Out, 21 Pilots.
Yeah, those are the two I got.
So there's two in there that I thought you would get. I don't remember what the last song is. I'm going to have to look it up.
Okay, let's cut the crap. What's song two?
What do you mean cut the crap? That doesn't
cut
work.
Cut the crap. Get to the point, Chase. Go. And of course, I'm going to have these headphones on with one thing, and all I hear is,
The last song, from my own knowledge, is apparently Dancing with a Stranger. I don't
know. Oh, wow.
So there's three out of five.
Wow.
The other two you should get.
I'm trying to get the melody. I can't, because normally after you say it, I go, oh, there it is. Okay.
5:49, The Morning Reboot on Q105. Okay. If you can't stay with us, like for the panel full of ladies, just a bit after 6 o'clock, and you only get whatever your commute is to listen to the show, get the podcast, get subscribed. That's the easiest way. Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Spotify. You can search Eric Chase, and you should get The Morning Reboot podcast. You can also text Eric to 419-240-1055. Why get the podcast? Because it's song-free and commercial-free. You just have to wait until that day's show is over.
And not to toot our own horns.
Toot!
We've been giving some good content, y'all. Like,
what do you mean?
We've been giving some good stuff. Like, I feel like all the podcasts recently are stuff that, like, if you heard it before, if you're allowed, I don't know how podcasts work, but, like, I would save it and go back to it. Because, like, there's been some good old gems in there.
You don't know how, what do you mean you don't know how podcasts work?
I'm not a huge podcast podcast listener.
Okay.
I have some. Like, I tried to get into, when I was in my, like, obsessed with Nicki Minaj phase. Like, I tried to listen to her podcast, and there was
I'm sure that was awful.
It wasn't bad, but it was very, like, hip-hop centric. Like, I was there to hear about who she was beefing with. Like, I didn't really care about what was up and coming and, like, what's happening in Queens, New York. I don't care. I'm from Toledo, Ohio. So that wasn't my interest. And then it works for Matt Belisai. Belisai? Is it Belichick? He does the Wine About It videos where he just gets drunk and just starts venting about the world. He had a podcast that I was into, and it was funny, but like after like a week, I was like, okay, we get it. You're just getting drunk over a microphone.
Do you want to make this show that?
We could, but I also have another job to go to, so right. I don't think that will work in my favor.
So, Molly got adopted.
I know.
That's totally confirmed. And now there's a new one.
I know.
Franklin.
Good old Franklin. He looked doggy high yesterday. I was like, look at Franklin living his best life.
He's a white pit bull mix of something.
It's adorable.
And when I got to Lucas County, my friend Jody said, he's very talkative. And this is the second week in a row that she said they're very talkative and they haven't been. And I'm guessing the shelter just stresses the dogs out, because he didn't say a thing while we were out doing our thing for like 2 hours.
He didn't want your treat.
No.
I saw that video. I was like, oh, he is not having it right now.
He didn't. But there was one last meat kind of treat. Mm. He ate that. And then when I took him over to TSA to see Bethany and some of her happy birthday. Remember the guy that came in here? I was giving him a hard time for the Band-Aid stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
Dave
yeah.
Dave Gerke. It was his surprise 60th birthday party the other night at this place near the Bubble in Rossford where the Amazon's going to go.
Oh, so, okay. Awesome.
Happy birthday to Gerke, Bethany's boss over at TSA. But they were having balance for lunch. And again, the girls there offered Franklin treats. Didn't want it. Nothing. They offered him some broccoli, and I was like, you're not going to take that. They offered him some chicken. He took it.
He knew.
He is a carnivore.
Franklin knew. Franklin ain't no fool.
He's a good boy.
He's very well-mannered. I saw someone ask you on the Facebook, is he good with kiddos? And I was like, I liked your response. You're like, you get to just take them to go visit. Take them there. Like, you got to keep in mind, like, you don't know that answer. You know what I mean? But like, I know they were inquiring from a good place, but like, we could say he's good with kiddos, but like, maybe your kiddos are off the wall. And he's just like, I like kids, but not you.
The strangest things could set dogs off. You just don't know. Like, I know that the dogs will chase squirrels and stuff like that, but dog could see a certain color. It could trigger something in them because of, like, when I was walking Molly last week, we were on the sidewalk.
Yeah, you said this, yeah.
And when a car would come by down what's left of Erie Street, she would step to the side near the grass, and I'd never seen that before. So obviously something happened in her past that, you know, I didn't know about.
She's
and
like, don't get me on this street.
And I've had dogs before where Diddy, who is good-natured, there was a female dog who I was considering adopting before I got Andre, like 4 years ago. And she was the sweetest dog. She reminded me of a dog I used to have named Jasmine. Mm-hmm. Sweetest dog. I brought Diddy there. She wanted to rip Diddy's face off.
Oh, she wasn't having him?
Nope.
She said, ain't no man for me.
It was like the thing turned into a werewolf.
Okay.
I saw something yesterday, and I had heard about it, and maybe you did as well, but now the sign is up, and I gave it a little bit more thought. I'm like, this is super convenient. This is a great business move. So we know about Amazon coming to Rossford.
Yes, that was like the talk of the town yesterday.
Yeah, and there are many, many people saying it's a terrible, authoritarian, dictatorship type of place to work. Maybe it is, but I mean, some people will choose to do that job. I mean, no one's forcing you to work there. You're not being enslaved against your will.
You filled out the application.
And you can read what's online. So, but at Kohl's, they will now pack and ship your Amazon return for free.
Yeah, that's been going on for, like, I'd say a good 2 weeks now. Because I thought about doing it. Because I always go to the UPS store. Because it's just imprinted in my brain. And Kohl's is a lot closer to me.
Yeah.
And I never think about it. I'm like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, I saw they put the sign up yesterday at the one at Spring Meadows, like off of Pennsylvania Road. I'd read the story that they were doing this before, and that's a great way to get traffic in your door. Something that many or current retail stores and malls have a hard time doing, getting people to come in and not buy online.
Wait till that Christmas season, though.
I know.
Oh, you guys better overstock with employees now. I thought about that. I'm like, because Kohl's is busy. Anyway, now we're adding returning online purchases to their mix. Ooh, I'm gonna say a prayer come after December. Actually, yeah, December 27th.
How have you returned stuff that you've bought online before?
I have, yeah.
How have you felt about it? Troubling?
No, because most Amazon purchases come. You don't devour your envelope or box when you get it. Like,
right.
Literally take it off nice and neatly. Because guess what? Just a strip of tape, and they already have the return postage on there. So, yeah. It's easy. Like, all you do is come in. I'm like, I have a Prime return. And most of the time, they're like, Prime return. I'm like, yeah. They scan it. They take it away. And once it scans to their... Because I had a question about when I would get my money back. When it's scanned at the second destination. So, like, the first scan is when you drop it off.
Mm-hmm.
And then they load it on the thing. And then they scan it to, like, the second destination before the final. That's when you get your money back. Because they're like, oh, it's already in the air. It's out of the person's hands. Here's your $19.95 back.
I think the two biggest holdups for a lot of people from buying things online up until a couple years ago was... Will it fit? If it's clothing or will it be the same color or something? But how easily can I return it? And it's gotten a lot easier.
It has, because I remember growing up, my mom would do the Home Shopping Network.
Yeah.
She would go through loops and holes to return a salad shooter. Like, you know what I mean? But like, because it came to the point, like, All right, I have it already. I don't even want to go through the hassle of returning it.
Yeah. So that's over to all the Coles now. 5:57. Good morning. It's the morning reboot on Q105. I promise that you'll never find another like me. As I suspected, we would not be loaded with the phones this early in the morning. People have their lives to go about, and they're just listening to us and participating might be a little challenge. 6:15, good morning. It's the morning reboot on Q105. Who do we have for this virgin 6 a.m. panel full of ladies?
We have Chris.
Or in this case, panel full of... Chris, you're 61?
That is correct.
Good for you!
Well, thank you so much.
You are breaking the virginity here of a 6 o'clock panel full of ladies, which will be the panel full of Chris, and I think you're going to do wonderful.
Well, we'll see.
Okay, you sound youthful. Not by any means 61 old, but it's everything's relative, and I'm going to take all my feet out of my mouth now.
Okay.
All right. Chris is from Luna Pier, married, kids, and grandkids. All right, here we go. First question, and then Floyd, I'll ask you as well.
Okay.
Chris, when you go to the kitchen in the morning, what is in your sink?
This is terrible, but probably a coffee cup and, like, a Keurig cup and leftover, like, just items from the dishwater.
Okay. That's kind of what I was getting at. Like, do you do dishes in the evening, or do you leave some for the next morning or whenever?
No, I do dishes at night.
Okay. Hold on one second. Hi, who's this?
Yes, hi, this is Christina. I was just calling to be on the panel.
Oh, perfect. Hold on. How old are you?
Okay. 35.
35, okay. All right, Christina. And all right, Chris, you're back.
Okay.
We've got Christina with you. Christina, what's in your sink when you go to the kitchen in the morning?
Probably a cup from my tea that I drink in the evening.
Okay.
Or dirty dishes from the kids.
Okay. Floyd, what's in your sink? Everything?
Yeah, plates from last week. I'm horrible.
Okay. Chris, what's a good workday snack?
Celery sticks.
Anything with them?
No.
Okay. Christina, what's a good workday snack?
Probably a piece of fruit. Or, if I'm being frank, if it's that time of the month, probably something salty or really sweet.
Okay, we like frankness and candor on this show. Chris, what at the end of a day, as you wrap up your day for the most part, what dictates whether or not you've had a good day or not?
How's my drive home?
Is it kind of filled with traffic and construction?
Yeah, 75 is.
Yeah.
It's a terror.
Yeah, we all know. Christina, what about you? What dictates whether or not you've had a good day or not?
A lot of it has to do with how chaotic my home is when I get home. If my kids are going crazy, or if, you know, everything seems to be hunky-dory. I think that sets the tone for kind of the rest of the day when I get home from work.
When you get home from work and you open up that door, is it like, what's behind door number one or door number two? It could be chaos. It could be not so much chaos.
Yeah.
Oh boy. Oh my God. I have a lot of parent friends who have that same feeling. Last question, Chris. Give me an artist whose music you like, but they are not your preferred drama. Genre, sorry.
In excess.
In excess. Oh. Okay, interesting. What is your preferred genre of music?
Probably country anymore.
We're not a country station. What do you listen to us for?
I just do.
No. Well, thank you.
We're not mad about
it. We appreciate it. Yeah. Christina, what about you? Give us an artist you like, but they're not in the genre you really like or prefer.
Chris Young, who's a country artist, but country music would not be my number one choice.
Same here. Christina, thanks for joining us this morning, and you have a good rest of your day. Hopefully you will come home to a clean house today.
I hope so.
Awesome. Thank you. And Chris, hold on a second. Thanks for joining us. We've got tickets for the zoo for you on Friday night. Don't go anywhere, okay?
All right. Thank you.
You want to answer that question?
That's a good question, because I'm going through my role. Because, you know, I like all types of music. Like, what do I like that's not my first choice? You know, I'm a pop princess at heart, no matter what.
You can sit down, you can think about it, an artist, and it's not just like one song. Like, you like several of them.
I own like a lot of. Okay, I know who it is.
Who is it?
But are they pop though?
Who?
Fall Out Boy.
Kind of, yeah.
Okay, so I'll go to my other Rolodex. Okay.
All right. Some stats. Now that we know that Amazon is definitely coming, and it's not just Project Freddy, and let's beat those peanut allergies in less than 15 minutes.
Good news, bad news, breaking news, fake news, local news, and even real news.
And yes,
just the news you need with the Morning Reboot with Eric Chase on Q105.
Just airing out the things you need to know. You can hit Floyd's Facebook for that funny joke.
It's Twitter.
Sorry.
Tweet it.
Amazon.com yesterday made the announcement they're coming to the 100 acres in the Crossroads just east of 75, along with out in Akron. This will be in Rossford. Okay. And the Blade spoke to Rossford's mayor, Neil McKinnon, calling it monumental for the region. For a company that's so advanced like Amazon to narrow their top two sites to Rossford out of several options from three different states is a testament to our geography. Talking about being close to 75 and how long it is. Same thing with 80 and 90, the Ohio Turnpike. The facility is expected to be up and running by August of next year. That's a fast build.
Yeah.
At least 1,000 jobs will be created initially, up to potentially 3,000. Amazon offers a minimum wage of $15 an hour and full benefits, plus free job training and up to 90% tuition reimbursement.
Bye! I'm out!
Now, you know that...
I'm not working at Amazon.
Some of these factors...
No.
I think... We talked about this briefly when we got on the air. It may be too grueling for some people, but like no one is, you're not being enslaved.
What are some of the horror stories? Like, I feel like it's...
You don't get breaks, where the breaks are too, they're normal length, and then they drill you to get back to work. It's 180 degrees. You can find these stories everywhere.
Oh.
But the factories keep opening up.
And people still are looking for jobs and they'll work. I mean, that's good. Like,
That's a personal decision you have to make, just like anybody at their job, and you've got to weigh the pros and cons.
Ooh, do
you
think the cons outweigh the pros more times than I care to imagine?
Do you think we like waking up when we do? No, but we enjoy doing this, so that's the sacrifice. Mm-hmm. What level of sacrifice are you willing to make? This is the first and last time we will ever talk about C-SPAN.
Is that about to come out your mouth?
C-SPAN is visiting Toledo this week. That's the news channel that you always skip over, where they show Congress arguing with one another. There will be, to feature the city's history and literary profile in the network's nonfiction book program, Book TV, C-SPAN 2 and C-SPAN 3.
What? It spawned two babies?
It'll explore historical and literary sites, conduct community outreach, and interview local historians, elected officials, and nonfiction authors. On Monday, they visited the National Museum of Great Lakes. Other sites selected for the program, including the Museum of Art, Fort Meigs. Did I say that right?
It is Fort Meigs.
Okay. They also focused on Colonel James Schoonmaker, freighter at the museum. And the vessel was the largest Great Lakes ship at the time of its launch and a cargo record breaker. The features recorded now will run during the third week of October. A little national... Sorry.
You know who watches C-SPAN?
Your mom?
No. I think she's too young for C-SPAN. My mom is 61.
It's nice to get a little national love. We'll watch the digital properties. The zoo doesn't seem to know what that young Maasai giraffe died of. The histopathology, which I believe is an animal autopsy. There you go. There's a show.
Wow.
Not alien autopsy.
Animal autopsy.
Mm. The 1.5-year-old Binti. The results were inconclusive. Everything was really nonspecific, said the zoo vet Dr. Dennis Michaels to the Blade. What we found was just a lot of evidence of her being down. On June 4th, the staff found her down in an indoor holding area that morning. They attempted to help her to her feet before sedating her for examination. Blood work indicated multiple severe abnormalities and euthanasia was elected to prevent the suffering. Dr. Michael said the final report showed signs of problems like muscle damage in her legs, aspiration pneumonia, and mild inflammation of the liver. However, those all could be issues of the result rather than the cause of such a large animal being down for an extended period of time. She'd been on exhibit with no signs of illness during the day before she died. There were no indications of any physical injury. Kent Becker, the zoo's chief missions officer, said it's not uncommon for histopathology tests to be inconclusive. This sounds like an awful accident.
It proves that
stuff happens.
In the animal world, you can hear one day gone another. It's crazy.
You're not a Harry Potter fan.
How dare you? I am.
So you'll go to this November 1st, Stranahan Theater, Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone in concert.
Carol, let's go. You know who you are. I'm going to go. That score's so beautiful. Even if you don't like mm-hmm. Harry Potter, the music's enchanting, and I mean that.
When my buddy and I went to go see the music of John Williams, they played some of the Harry Potter stuff.
That would've been cool.
Yeah, it was a cool show. You can also watch the entire film on the high-definition 40-foot screen while listening to the Toledo Symphony perform John Williams' score. Tickets go on sale 10 o'clock August 2nd, the box office or StranahanTheater.com. Tony Pacos is doing specials for National Hot Dog Week. Yesterday, 50% off online owners. How about today? Unlimited $2 hot dogs. You want to do another eating contest?
No, not after the last one. I don't trust any contests with food for
a long while. Tomorrow and Thursday, 19-cent hot dogs with any purchase.
I was like, oh, that place is about to be packed.
And the entire week through Sunday, 5 hot dogs for $10. You have a lot of kids at the school with peanut allergies.
Actually, I'll say this. We are blessed. We don't have any at the current moment.
Good. I'm fairly certain that science is certain that peanut allergies came about because no immunity was built up.
Mm-hmm. You've said that before when we used to do podcasts like a year or so ago. You talked about that.
It's in some books that I've read, which I believe the data. Researchers say even babies with eczema or an egg allergy may still benefit from eating peanut products. The Canadian Medical Association Journal published an article yesterday describing a study that included 640 infants. They were all younger than 11 months and were either allergic to egg or had moderate to severe eczema. Researchers say some of the infants were fed 2 grams of peanut protein 3 times a week. They found only 3% of the children who ate peanut protein developed a peanut allergy later. More than 17% of at-risk children who avoided peanuts altogether went on to develop an allergy by the age of 5 years. Researchers warn that the more severe the eczema or egg allergy, the greater the risk of peanut allergy. But in some cases, maybe a lot of them, if you feed the child the peanuts, it will build up an immunity toward them as opposed to not doing it.
That's good data. And it's scary, though, because if I ever have children, daddy like peanut butter. I don't know. I love peanut butter. Like my cousin has peanut allergy, and we have to be very, very, very careful around her. I think if she looks at the jar, she'll swell up and like lapse over. Like, it's just one of those situations. Like, and she legit has one, and I'm just like, you don't understand the power of a good peanut butter and jelly.
Like, I pull up the numbers, but there's like 4 or 5 times more peanut butter allergy or more peanut allergies peanut now than there was when we were growing up.
It never crossed my mind. Right. I don't think any of my friends had it. Like,
because someone had a peanut allergy, so they just removed all those products,
mm-hmm.
And that like tipped the scales. Like the immunity thing. You work at the school, and I don't think you've had the flu since we've worked together. You've been sick a couple of times.
But I've not lapsed over. Like my mom always tells me to get a flu shot. I'm like, girl, I worked with kids for the past 10 years.
Right.
Like, I'll be sick, let me tell you. But I, knock on wood, I've not had the flu.
Yeah, your immune system is quite possibly impenetrable because you're around snot all morning.
All day. For the past literally 15 years.
Builds you up. 6:41 with the morning reboot. Mr. Rogers is what everybody is talking about, especially after I set people off on Facebook. The trailer is really good, especially the end.
Old man Chase.
Get off my Mr. Rogers lawn. Mr. McFeeney's coming with the mail. We'll get to that. And a big Beyonce reveal before 7 o'clock.
Say what?
On Q105. 6:52 on Q105, the morning reboot. It's Eric Chase and Floyd. We are glad you're here with us this morning on Tuesday, July 23rd. Tacos and Trivia Tuesday with a new Taco Tuesday song that maybe you heard a little bit of last week. We'll do Lion King trivia.
I'm ready.
Lion King trivia. Then our friends from Harbor will be by around 7:30 to talk about their night golf event coming up during the third week of August. That event is really cool. I've never been able to stay for it. Know why?
You sleepy?
It's the same night as...
It's Pride, isn't it?
Yep.
Oh, yep. Boopy-doop.
Yep, same night as You Will Do Better in Drag. All right, let me give you the Beyonce thing first. Do you know who John Oliver is?
Yes!
I adore John Oliver.
I do too.
John Oliver strikes me as a man who is not afraid of much. In much will be Beyonce.
Yeah. There's a lot of speculation here that everybody else in this photo, and Jim, could you go back to this photo, please? A little bit wider, please? Yeah. Mm-hmm. There you go. Everybody in this photo is actually there, except not Beyoncé. People are speculating she was photoshopped in.
Right.
And you're right next to her.
Yeah.
Can you tell us whether she was there?
Yeah, she wasn't there.
She wasn't
No,
there.
She wasn't there, no. No, wait, so, and...
Was everybody else there?
I think almost, I can't remember, I think almost everyone else was there, but I remember Chiwetel, we were setting up the shot, and Chiwetel, we were sitting in the front, he said, you need to be careful where your foot is. And I looked down, and there was just this piece of tape on the floor with Beyonce's name written on it. And literally, it was like an electrical reaction, just going, oh, just the future presence of Beyonce was so intimidating. So if you look at my face in there, I look really intimidated. And that's because what I'm doing is imagining that I am about to be put into a photo with Beyonce one day. And
I love him.
I'm looking at the picture.
Was not there. They did Photoshop her in. Next up, the Mr. Rogers trailer with Tom Hanks. We've been teased about it before, but the full trailer for A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood hit. And then I took to Facebook last night and I had one single statement, which needed a lot more context. I said, I think Mr. Rogers is overrated. I came up with another reason why I felt more emotionally connected to Sesame Street than Fred Rogers.
Why is that?
Growing up, and maybe some people have been there, just outside of Philadelphia.
Is that where he's from?
I don't know where he's from, but...
I'm gonna Google it. Go.
Sesame Place was an amusement park.
What?
Right outside of Philadelphia.
There's a Sesame Street amusement park?
I went every summer.
Donna Anderson.
Yeah.
You never took me to this PBS Mecca land.
Next time you go to Philadelphia, you
can
go.
Is it still there?
Yeah.
Shut your mouth.
Mm-hmm. All right, the Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood trailer.
Hello, neighbor.
Hey, I'm looking for Fred Rogers.
In here.
It's a beautiful day in this neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? Please, won't you be my neighbor? Hello, neighbor.
Mr. Rogers, I'm here to interview you.
It is so nice to meet you.
You okay?
Profiling Mr. Rogers.
Lloyd, please don't ruin my childhood.
This piece will be for an issue about heroes. Do you consider yourself a hero?
We are trying to give the world positive ways of dealing with their feelings.
Yeah? Like what?
There are many things you can do. You can play all the lowest keys on a piano at the same time.
You love broken people. Like me.
Sometimes we have to ask for help. And that's okay. I think the best thing we can do is to let people know that each one of them is precious.
Here we go. Final scene in the
trip. Hey, Mr. Rogers.
On the train.
It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor.
Please, won't you be my neighbor?
Are you looking for chills, hair standing up?
Oh, I got them, but... I'm gonna say this now. I think Tom Hanks just got his third Academy Award.
You think so?
Oh, I do. Okay. There's been no other buzz besides Egerton as Elton John.
Well, we're only halfway through the year.
But and you know they start throwing that stuff out right about now.
Movie award season, the ones that want to contend are always later in the year.
Oh, he's going to get a nomination. Not saying that this... I'm saying he's going to...
The nomination seems concrete.
Misty-eyed. I'm still in the morning. You got me on my feels.
He is probably the kindest man to ever live.
Oh, for
and
sure.
And we all, even the nicest people, even the people that we most truly revere, who are the most genuine and authentic, have a skeleton or two. Except for him.
I know. Here's the thing. Like, I think, because like, who's the nice one? Who's a good caring person now? Like, if you put Mr. Rogers, Oprah, and Ellen next to each other, you're like, look at those two monsters.
You're totally right.
You know what I mean? Like, Mr. Rogers, you are a saint compared to these two heathens over here.
You're right.
And those are like two of the nicest people ever.
And remember, he did that whole show. He wrote everything. Mm-hmm. He did most of the puppeteering.
The voices.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Yeah. And you said the postman, the mailman, was Mr.
McFeely.
Apparently, I just hit his Wikipedia real fast. McFeely was his middle name.
Oh, what, Mr. Rogers or the postman's?
Mr. Rogers.
Oh, wow.
I think I have some Mr. Rogers games we're going to play later this week.
I'm ready. Bring it.
One last thing. In the ASAP Rocky case, the Swedish officials have decided not to charge the guy that ASAP Rocky says harassed and assaulted his entourage on the street. Now it comes down to a very kind of arcane, very shades of gray self-defense law. So we'll see if they're going to continue to make an example out of him. He's been in jail for a while.
Not to backtrack, but to backtrack. Can I go to Sesame Place without a child?
Probably. Look it up.
I'm on the website right now. I want to ride Oscar's Wacky Taxi roller coaster.
You know what? Now
I want to go.
I said earlier, and I said on Facebook last night, that I never really liked Mr. Rogers. I think he was a little overrated. I preferred Sesame Street. Mm-hmm. And maybe the truly intrinsic, visceral reason for that was because Sesame Street had a freaking amusement park in my backyard, and Mr. Rogers didn't. Tacos and Trivia
I'm so into it.
Tuesday.
And the tickets are affordable.
Well, for kids, yeah. Tacos and Trivia Tuesday. If you know you're Lion King, you'll hopefully win with us in less than 15 minutes. 7:13 on Q105. It's the morning reboot. We're brought to you by Mike Buck State Farm in Sylvania. Hashtag some pig. Q105. Eric and Floyd. Tacos and Trivia Tuesday in 1 second. What happened to her on the songwriter show on Fox?
Okay. Because she was there for like the first few episodes, right?
I think so.
Yeah, and then they replaced her with Kelsey Ballerini. I don't know what happened to her.
But that show has not had one entertainment note that I've come across.
Oh, wait. Which one? The Four?
No.
Or Songland?
Songland.
That's on NBC. She was one of the coaches on, or like the judges on The Four with Diddy, DJ Khaled.
No.
You're talking about Meghan Trainor, right?
I think the songwriting show was on Fox.
No, Songland's on NBC. Yes, because it comes on after
Meghan Trainor was on that show, right?
Yeah, but not anymore.
Okay, so no one's talked about that show. Every day I come in looking for entertainment news. No one said it's more Hannah this, Luke that.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm assuming it's good. They have a good group of songwriters.
You know what? I'm guessing that they. Because we've talked about this before. If you're the songwriter, you're really, really the star. Like, you'll last forever. You look up songwriting credits, you're like, I can't believe this person wrote for them and them and them. And But I could see how that might not be produced well enough to be interesting to people. Like, they
see, but we're music people. We want to, when we hear a good song, we're like, we go down this rabbit hole of like, okay, who produced this? Who wrote this?
A little bit.
I do.
It might be hard to make that interesting on TV, though.
True. But, like, sometimes I think once you hear... It's kind of funny because, like, Sia does it a lot. Like, she'll release a demo of a song. Then all of a sudden you hear, like, actual artist she gave it to. And you're like, girl, why don't you keep that song for yourself?
Yeah.
Like, the Sia version of Diamonds by Rihanna is amazing. Like, and that's a good song for Rihanna, too. Like, it's produced well, but, like, her just stripped down singing it as she's writing it. You can look it up on YouTube and all that stuff. It's just, it fits her voice. You're like, why did you give that song away? Because it was a massive
hit
from
Madonna. She just keeps writing more of them. I mean, not Madonna, Rihanna. Because she can just write more of them. That's why I don't save any of my creative ideas in a notebook to look back on. Let's come up with more of them.
Yeah.
I wonder if any of the people who were really good at songwriting on that show had no brushes with death or cancer to make good stories out of.
Well, I've watched the show a few times, so they come in with, like, most of them come in with a catalog of their own.
Remember, though, they got to pull on the heartstrings.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, for me, with the one episode I did watch, he was with Ryan Tedder, and, like, Ryan Tedder, like, read his lyrics and kind of just stripped him away and put his own twist on it. So I was like, so it kind of was like, it's not a songwriting show if you're just going to take his song and just make it your own.
And if that's the way it went, I could see
how it went.
I could see how people wouldn't find that interesting.
Yeah, it's exactly how it went.
This is our normal open for Tacos and Trivia Tuesday.
Nothing says Toledo like Tacos, Trivia, and Eric Chase. We've got two of the three right now.
Taco Tuesday.
On Q105's The Morning Reboot.
Fun. Tropical.
Summery.
Taco-y. 419-240-1055. But we have some new... some new music to get you hyped up for this. And a prize if you can answer the questions.
Tacos,
you just have to call now.
Taco, bro!
That's all I hear.
Taco!
You want to talk about songwriting genius? It's like, hey, little gentleman, why don't we just change shots to Taco Tuesday?
It's funny because the people he worked with whisper. He yells.
Don't want no pizza.
That's the best line.
The best line. Jello shots.
Hi, who's this? Hi there.
Hello?
You can call and not listen to us.
Fine.
I will give you the Taco Tuesday questions, 419-240-1055. Floyd will be able to help you because they're all Lion King and he's an expert. Hi, who's this?
Denise.
Hi, Denise. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hello, Denise.
How well do you know your Lion King?
Pretty well from the past.
Okay.
I'm here with you.
It's been a while.
I'm here with you. Don't worry.
Same movie. Hold on 1 second. There. Okay, we're back. All right, first question, Denise. What is Simba's mother's name?
Mm.
Zuzu, Sarabi, Uru.
Sarabi.
Did I pronounce those correctly?
Mm-hmm.
All right. What does Timon say grubs taste like? Chicken, Cheetos, or heaven?
Chicken.
What was the movie's original title? Lion King, King of Lions, King of the Jungle. Ooh, tough one.
That is a
tough one. King of the Jungle.
Okay. What area is Simba specifically forbidden from going to? Rafiki's tree, the elephant graveyard, East Africa.
The elephant graveyard.
And last question. The first major character to appear on screen is Zazu, Timon, or Scar?
Zazu.
Yes, because he flies.
Wow.
No!
Yeah.
Floyd doesn't even have the sheet, and you got them all. How? I mean, you got
so
them all.
So proud of you, Denise.
Denise, you got them all right.
All
of them right. Nice job. Tickets to go see Jim Gaffigan at the zoo. Well done.
Thank you.
Hold on, Denise. How hard do you think those were?
Okay, so the second one, because as you do them, I write them down. I guessed on the original name.
King of the Jungle.
And I wrote King of the Jungle.
Well done.
So I was like, I guess. So I was praying that she was going to be like, Floyd, do you know? I would have been like, ooh, girl, we're going to go down this rabbit hole together. King of the Jungle, though?
Yeah.
I'm happy they went with Lion King.
I know you guys, you and Denise got them all right, but would you say what level of difficulty?
They were fairly, like, if you've seen the movie, they, besides the title question, you did good, kid.
Me?
Yes.
Okay, thanks. 7:20 with the Morning Reboot. Some friends from Harbor will be by in about 15 or 20 minutes because they have a very cool event happening on August 16th. We'll get to that and more coming up.
Q105 traffic.
7:33 on Q105. Good morning. It's the Morning Reboot, Eric Chase and Floyd. You can text the show anytime you'd like, 419-240-1055. We're brought to you by Mike Buck State Farm in Sylvania. Hashtag some pig. Our friends from Harbor will be along shortly to tell you about a very cool event they have going on at, I think it's Bedford Golf Course. Full details shortly about Night Golf, another great annual event for Harbor. First, we'll get to a Britney Spears story and a local Toledo celebrity. There's really only two, has gotten divorced. We'll get to that shortly. A former schoolmate of yours.
Yes.
Former classmate of yours. I said earlier this morning that I had an Ava Max thought. Thank you for reminding me. Mm-hmm. This is not nearly as controversial as my I think Mr. Rogers is overrated take on Facebook.
You never know, though. You never know.
Have you seen the plate thing this morning?
No.
There is some kind of person on Twitter with quite a big following who's trying to get these plates banned by Macy's, and I think Macy's has done it. So quickly, it's like a dishware set, and on the in it's like a small circle, it says foodie. Mm-hmm. On the larger circle, it says food coma, and then on another plate, it's got small circle, bigger circle, biggest circle, and on the biggest circle, it says mom jeans, and the internet is not pleased.
Why?
Why are they not pleased?
Is it because, like, fat shaming? Like, or like,
yes.
But not all moms, not all mom jeans are chubby women.
Right.
Y'all, we got to pick. We pleat America. Please choose and pick your battles. I'm looking at the plate. Okay. Come on now. Like,
Now, we're not a great barometer because it is nearly impossible to offend us.
Right. It takes you have to literally, you have to hurt me to, you have to kill me to offend me. Like, other stuff like water off a duck's back, I'm just like, okay, well, that's fine.
But tell me if this is, I don't think this is a harsh take at all. So I really like the new Ava Max song. I think it's called So Am I.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
Between her great singing voice.
It is really good. It's underrated.
Yes. Like,
out of the new girls, the new pop queens coming out. Yeah.
Like, you get caught up in the lyrics. Sweet but psycho.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's not breathing or some simple title. Like, that's harsh and very forward. And I equate her with the lyrics and how talented she is as a singer. Mm-hmm. She is. And I say she's a modern day because when this person came out, it was over 10 years ago. You can compare Sweet But Psycho to I Kissed a Girl, and I think she's the new Katy Perry.
Oh, I can see that, yeah. I love her look. Like, she's, I don't even say goth, but like, she has like dark features, like her makeup's done dark, blonde hair, like all her album covers are like, I don't give a bloom about the establishment. You know what I mean? Like,
she's very Katy Perry.
Yeah, and I love her new song, So Am I. Like, that's, I think I told you off air a few weeks ago, I said, I'm obsessed. It's like my new favorite song right now that's not being played, but was that her controversy?
No.
Oh.
But somebody's probably ticked off that I said, it can't be a new Katy Perry when the old one's still around. Well, I mean, I Kissed a Girl was like 10 years old.
Let me ruin someone's week. Ready, 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 ready. I can't wait to see Cats, the movie, and I want the mom jean plate. Three people in this city just went, oh, how could he? I did just ruin people's week, though.
The common joke on all the entertainment stories is, oops, has she done it again? Britney Spears hit the LA. Yes, we're doing entertainment a little bit early so we can get with our Harbor friends about Night Golf. She hit the LA premiere of Once Upon a Time in Hollywood along her longtime boyfriend, Sam Asghari. She looked great, a red dress, black chunky heels, and a flashy choker. They began dating in late 2016. They have not commented on engagement, but there was something on her finger that very well could have been an engagement or maybe even a wedding ring. She commemorated the moment on Instagram by sharing several snapshots of her and Sam writing, our first premiere. Their red carpet premiere official. Who are the two Hollywood celebrities that we think of from Toledo?
Katie Holmes.
Mm-hmm.
And the one we're about to talk about?
Yep, Adrian Palicki. This is kind of odd. So she had been with Scott Grimes, her co-star, on The Orville. Do you watch The Orville?
I don't.
I've been told that Star Trek has been gone for a long time, up until like a year ago, but I've been told this is very Star Trek-like. Mm-hmm. That's because Seth MacFarlane loved that show and constantly brings on guest stars. So Adrian Palicki and Scott Grimes were together after meeting on that show. They're now getting divorced after 1 month of marriage. Both parties were ordered by the court to share financial information regarding their personal and communal assets. The pair were seen together over the weekend at San Diego Comic-Con, where they attended a panel discussion about the upcoming season of The Orville. The event marked the one-year anniversary of the couple going public with their relationship at last year's Comic-Con before revealing their engagement in January. No grounds for divorce were cited in the recent court documents. The pair share no kids. This is the first marriage for her. Third for him.
What?
Although she was previously engaged to Jackson Spidell back in February of 2017. Yeah, his third marriage, her first. And just 2 months after getting married, they are now splitting up.
Hollywood.
One could say that's very East Toledo behavior.
No, we're not from the East Side.
Did you guys graduate Whitmer the same year?
Yeah, we went to junior high and high school together.
Look at that.
That's right.
Do you want bachelor drama?
If we must. You know I like a good juice. Let's go.
Luke just keeps coming back. And
oh, that's when everyone was mad about last night on social media.
Oh, yeah. And I find, what's his face? Chris Harrison's quote's kind of hypocritical.
Mm-hmm.
So E.T.'s Lauren Zima guest hosted this week's episode of the Bachelor Party podcast on The Ringer, a website that I read. They do good pop culture and sports. Where Chris Harrison confessed it was hard to shake the controversial contestant from Hannah Brown's season of The Bachelorette. Fans saw him return last night to The Bachelorette Mail and Tell All with a ring in his pocket, determined to win back Hannah after she eliminated him in a conversation about sex and religion. There were a lot of discussions about Luke coming back the second time, he admitted, Harrison, but was quick to note that he and the producers weren't just keeping Parker around for the drama. We as producers were thinking there's going to be some Luke P. fatigue setting in about now, and if left to our devices, we probably would have gotten rid of him and that storyline earlier to get Hannah on track for what we would hope to be a happy ending. We knew there would be fatigue, but Hannah and Luke couldn't resolve their relationship and their issues, so therefore it lingered on, and he needed to come back because it wasn't done, and he wasn't done. You know what would have made it done? Him not coming back. Or social media. It was totally
I was about to say, like...
It was totally a ratings play and drama play.
I was about
play.
To say, exactly. We had to keep him around because stuff wasn't resolved. No, you had to keep him around because Tabitha in Sylvania with her three kids in bed with her wine and her box of chocolates is just like, do we like Luke? Can we stand Luke? Do we love Luke? Hannah, what are you thinking? Hannah, don't go in the windmill! Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's why you kept him around. And, We're... Maybe season one of The Bachelor, right. We'd be like, oh, this is so... Not season, was it, 23?
Well said.
I'm like, come on now, dude.
Yeah, well said. I mean, this might be more finely orchestrated than WWE.
Right. And I love, like, because, like, her tears are real. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they're not, like, fake tears. They're not like they put Vicks vapor rub in her eyes. That's a little secret if you want to cry on command for the theater. Like, you know, they didn't put misters under her eyes like when she's getting all emotional. But you know, there's someone in her ear like, amp it up.
Right.
I need these tears to flow.
It's for, the shows are for entertainment and emotional value.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if there's none of that, nobody, like, go back to what we were discussing 20 minutes ago. That Songland show.
Yeah.
Like, apparently. People don't want to hear or watch songs being written.
Well, think about, right, they don't, but they want to see, like, the process of, like, they want to see small town Joe make it to, like, big time LA. That's what, that was the magic of, like, when The Voice first started, American Idol. Like, we saw these kids who were, like, literally bagging groceries at their corner grocery store with hidden talent.
With one arm.
But they had, like, this voice beyond recognition, and you're just like, oh, there's the magic. We don't want that now in The Bachelor, because we all know how this is going to end. Either they're going to get married, or they're going to break up, and if they break up, guess whoever breaks up, and it wasn't their season, they're the new Bachelor. It's this whole thing, and sorry, Madison, but, like...
I don't know if she listens to the show anymore.
Okay, but I'm just saying, like, well, we still talk Bachelor sometimes.
Okay.
But I'm just like... It's such a well-oiled machine that, like, when something happens like this, how dare you be shocked? You know what I mean? How dare you, like, oh, I didn't see that coming. You didn't?
If I'm speaking out of ignorance here, You know where to right. tweet me. But I remember for a long time, and I'm not a wrestling fan, but I going to the show is actually kind of fun. We should go to one.
It's coming August 4th.
At the Huntington Center. They're a blast.
We'll take my nephew.
They're a blast to go to, and the people watching is great. I've never been a diehard wrestling fan, but I remember for many years when wrestling really became mega popular mm-hmm. in the early, late 90s and 2000s.
I would say that.
And people would be like, you know, it's just like a soap opera for it's just drama for men. Yes, it is. And you know what? I think we've swung so far in the last 20 years where Bachelor and Bachelorette is WWE for women.
For women, yeah.
Because it is so orchestrated.
And just like the WWE, there are a few women who are into wrestling, just like there's a few men who are into like the Bachelor.
Jordan Strack.
But like, I'm with you. Like, when you see someone get DDT or Power Driver, a.k.a. taken to the windmill, then sit home packing, you know what I mean? You can't be surprised where you're like, oh, they're not the champion, a.k.a. not getting a rose.
7:44 with the morning reboot. Lots of cool things coming up in August. We've got Pride Weekend. Also, to start that weekend, August 16th, there's a great event if you'd like to support Harbor. Have some good food, do a little drinking, and play lots of golf. That's to come. 7:56 here on Q105. It's the morning reboot. Eric and Floyd will introduce our guest in just one second. Usually this is our entertainment segment. We've juggled some things around so we can accommodate Kelly from Harbor. Kelly, you want to grab that microphone, please?
Yeah. Sorry, I forgot to give you the rundown.
The night golf water bottle, perfect, or coffee mug. I've been familiar with this event now. I think this will be like the fourth year I've heard about it, and I can never attend the whole thing because we have Pride the same night, and I hope one of our events moves because I would love to see what Harbor Night Golf is mm-hmm. all about because I'm there when it's still light out, which is not, it's tasty, it's entertaining, but not when the real fun happens. Hi, Kelly.
Hello, how are you?
Good. Tell me about Harbor Night Golf.
Well, it is an awesome, fun event on August 16th up at Bedford Hills, and they light up the Wolverine and Buckeye courses with glow sticks, and the golfers golf with glow balls.
Yep.
And it's pitch dark, and it's just the coolest thing to see it pitch dark with balls just sailing through the air.
It's nice.
Have you ever seen, like, sometimes in empty mall spaces, they'll put a glow golf, a miniature golf?
Uh-huh.
Well, this is big person golf.
I'm in.
Glow on the golf course. And there's, obviously, it's to help out Harbor, and you can do a fivesome, and we can give you the details here when we wrap up here with Kelly. But tell me some of the other things, food, entertainment, drinks, all that stuff.
We have food from Texas Roadhouse, chicken and steak. And we have the Bradberries playing throughout the whole night. It's really cool. They, you know, play out onto the course while we're there. We have this awesome drone drop that a drone flies up in the air, and it has a bunch of golf balls in it and drops the golf balls on a tee, and then we give prizes for the balls closest to the tee. And we have a frozen marshmallow hit and a putting contest.
Let's explain how the frozen marshmallow thing works.
Please do.
So hours before the event at Bedford Hills, their marshmallows are frozen.
That is correct.
Okay. And
they're actually in the freezer now. But really? They're the jumbo marshmallows. Okay. And we get them out, and they're hard as a rock. You know, so we go up, and people just drive it, and we've got a male and a female, and whoever can drive it the farthest.
It is not your traditional uppity golf event.
I would just eat the marshmallows.
Well, you couldn't because it's frozen.
I would suck on it.
Don't.
Will, there's a way.
If you want to eat it, you're going to have to take a driver to it and then go pick it up in its pieces. But it's something to see, especially if you can do some slow motion video from it. So we've got entertainment, we've got drinks, we've got great food. There's also an after party. After the six holes for glow golf, right?
Right, right. Okay. And everybody comes back in after they get done golfing, and we have pizza and cookies.
Okay. We've kind of skipped over this because I'm more than familiar with it, but Kelly, could you talk a little bit about what Harbor does?
Harbor is a leading mental health provider in Northwest Ohio. We do mental health counseling, substance use treatment, and we just provide services for all of those in need.
Okay. And how to reach out, a specific website or anything you'd like to get out?
Harbor.org and 419-475-4449 is our phone number.
August 16th is Harbor Night Golf, Bedford Hills, 6 o'clock till about midnight or until we clean it all up.
Right.
deadline to register your fivesome is August 5th. You can get in touch with Kelly with the info that she just threw at you. I never asked this, and I guess it doesn't really matter, but does anybody who's been coming to this event over the years, do they keep track? Are they competitive with scores?
Oh, yes. We give a trophy at the end of the night. So we have a traveling trophy. So whatever fivesome wins that year gets the trophy, and we get the their names engraved in the trophy, and it travels around.
How hard is it to play night golf, even though the course is lit up with the glow sticks and you've got a glow ball?
Yeah.
How hard?
Honestly, I don't golf.
Okay.
But it's more fun than it is competitive.
Sure.
We, of course, have our competitive teams out there, but it is just a lot of fun.
There's always going to be some in it.
See, I'd hit it and be like, where's the ball? I'm here for the marshmallow.
But your ball will be lit up and glowing, so it could be a little easier to find.
You know, I'm easily distracted.
I just think it's funny that there is some good partying going on, and somebody might send one sailing. Right. But it's a great time, and I really wish that my two events that night didn't conflict, right, so we could go. Harbor Night Golf, Friday, August 16th. Anything else, Kelly? Did we hit it all?
I think we hit it all.
Awesome. Thanks. Good to see you. Harbor Night Golf, Friday, August 16th from 6 to midnight at Bedford Hills Golf Club. You can reach out to Kelly to get registered, and you can do that before August 5th. The Morning Reboot here on Q105 802. When is it the right time to start dating after you've been broken up? Floyd will do that next.
Q105 Studio Spot.
It's been an eye-opening show. 8:14, the Morning Reboot on Q105. It's Eric Chase and Floyd. We are very glad you're here with us. We appreciate any time you can tune into the show. We know that you're not here listening as much as we're here doing content. Okay. No. So we'd love for you to get the podcast. It's free. Get subscribed. Text Eric to 419-240-1055. A new episode each and every day. Song-free, commercial-free. You just have to wait until we are done each day's show. So if you listen on your commute, once you get in, or right, maybe around lunchtime, or for your ride home, you can get the podcast. It's there again. Song-free, commercial-free. Text Eric to 419-240-1055. You can go adopt Franklin. You can return your Amazon stuff. Ship it for free from Kohl's. You're going to take a road trip to Langhorne, PA, which is right outside of Philadelphia, to go to Sesame Place.
Apparently, a lot of people didn't know about it either. So we're going to be a group of 10 grown people rolling deep into Sesame Place. They're like, where's your child? We don't have one. We're here. We are the Sesame Street generation.
There was a time years ago, some friends and I called up a Chuck E. Cheese, and we were like, hey, we really like your food, the pizza, the salad bar, that was me. Do you mind if some adults come in there, or do you need to have a kid? And they're like, no, you're good to go. You don't have to have a party or anything. Just don't be
weird.
Yeah, we got what they were saying. Let's call Sesame Place up and be like, hello.
Hi.
We're looking to travel from out of state. Can an adults-only crew come enjoy Sesame Place?
Yeah. I need to meet Grover.
Is that who you would meet?
Oh my gosh, that would be Grover. Ah, I love him so much. Look, I'm like turning from 36 to like 6 years old. I love Grover.
It's Q105. Eric and Floyd, the Morning Reboot, 8:16, 419-240-1055. I think the answer to this question that you're going to throw out there will be completely different for everybody.
I know, which is why it was brought up the other day.
And maybe you can equate it to what your family's going through now with some grieving and mourning.
Because
that is, everybody's on a different timetable there. So when you get back to dating.
Okay, so my, not a friend, like I was just over, I was being a nosy neighbor, just listening to a conversation. This woman was in a long-term relationship. I think what I got of the gist of it, she was with the guy for 6 to 7 years, a long-term, and they broke up. And they've been broken up for a year now, and she's single. I mean, she doesn't have any children, so she's thinking about going back into the dating world. But she has also have in her mind, she's been on dates before, but like she wants to be more serious, that she compares everyone to her long long-term relationship. So, like, it's all about starting new while also getting rid of the old traits and habits that you have. So when is the accurate time to actually move on from a relationship?
After this woman goes to therapy.
Well, not even. But here's the thing. I knew you were going to say something like that. But, like, I know people who have broken up with people and they found the love of their life in, like, 3 months. Like, but they were together for, like, 5 years. Then 3 months later, they found someone else, and now they're still with this person.
But,
like,
I'll guess those people didn't have the roadblocks of comparing people in the future to the person in the past. You need to get over that.
Easier said than done, Master Chase.
That's why I say maybe you need to talk to somebody. Because it could happen.
Well, sitting at the bar talking to her girlfriends, isn't that a form of therapy, though?
No.
It's not? I've never actually been to a therapist. I just assume you sit there and talk, and you talk, but that's what she's doing with them.
Well, but a therapist has professional techniques to help you untwist those thoughts. Your friends may be reinforcing your thinking, or even worse, enabling.
See,
everybody's different.
I know, and this is me talking for someone who runs to their friends and tells them everything, and I'm just like, so what do you think I should do? Like, I think I've been very blessed, and I know where you're coming from with this. I've grown up from that, but, like, I used to have yes people that would tell me what I wanted to hear, not what I needed to hear. Now, as I'm, like, I've matured more, like, being in my mid-30s, I have people like, you're being an idiot. You need to calm down. Like, I have those people who are telling me more so what I need to hear. I may not like it. I may cop an attitude real quick. But I feel like it depends on the maturity level of your friends along with yourself or who you talk to. And I wanted to interject myself into this conversation. But like I said, I should have. I know. And I kind of kicked myself in the face for it because, like, she was with yes people, but she had one friend that wasn't a yes person, and, like, she wasn't heeding her advice.
I think even somebody who is not a yes person and they're willing to be a little more objective, they're still not as objective as, like, someone who was paid to be that way. Or that's why a lot of people form intriguing internet relationships, and in some ways they wind up emotionally cheating, or they just form a connection with someone, because a lot of times we're more willing to talk to a total stranger because they have complete objectivity.
Yeah, they're neutral,
as opposed to people that you're close to in your circle all the time. So, and again, I know that when I really hit the skids, my dad wants to help all that he can. You, Ashley, my friends are always like, are you okay? And I'm like, you know the answer. Yep, I'm good.
Right.
But my therapist will probe that deeper, and he'll extract my solutions out of my own mouth. That's why I always encourage somebody to talk. Everybody talk to somebody.
I kind of felt, like, bad for her because, like, she was heeding the advice, and you could tell that she was someone who was genuinely looking for advice. Because, you know, when people, I like to call it attention-seeking behavior. They say something just to get a rise out of people. Well,
Facebook.
Right. Exactly. But, like, she legit was like, I've been on a few dates, but I kind of want to be more serious with them. Like, I'm going on dates, and like I said, so she was talking to a friend of mine who I was there with, too. So, like, I was kind of in the conversation, but I wasn't, like, well enough to be like, well, this is what I think how you should approach it. But she was like, I've been single for a year. I kind of want to go on dates. I have all these apps. Like, she brought up Bumble. I don't know much about Bumble, but, like,
same thing as Tinder.
Is it okay? So she kept bringing up Bumble. She's swiped on a few people or tapped on a few people, and they've messaged back and forth. But she kind of is just like, I'm gonna say, like, John. She's like, but John also did this and blah 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 blah. And, like, the one friend was like, said what you said. You cannot compare Chad to John. They are two separate entities. They don't even know of each other. So she's like, you just got to go in with a clean slate. And that's what the other friend was saying, the one who was, like, being the realist. But the other girls were just kind of just like, well, you know, you and him had a long relationship, and it's going to be hard to get over it, but maybe you should talk to, like, this guy to get over him. And that's, you can't talk to someone to get over someone.
No.
You honestly can't. And I was like, and she's like, and when she literally left, because, like, I was sitting there, she goes, you know what? You guys are right. And then the one girl was like, okay. And that was the real friend, the realest friend, who was kind of like, okay, we're going to have this conversation in about 48 hours. And I was just like, she missed an opportunity because the one friend literally was just like, just go on a date without any expectations.
Yeah.
Just go.
Expectations and comparisons in a variety of ways are like a high speed road to being upset and depressed.
Because the brain is a tricky thing. Your brain will, and I said this about when my aunt died, your brain assumes how you should feel. And then you go into that mindset. You're like, okay, got it. But when it happens, you're like, oh, we assume the wrong way. Kind of like when you go on a date. Oh, this is going to be great. This is going to be the perfect guy. We're gonna assume this is going to be great. You know, food could be messed up. He could show up late. You cannot just not be interested. You could be in a mood.
You could choke on something. Like, you get a food allergy.
Your brain is a coping. It copes with you.
But you can train your brain. Like, you can train your muscles.
You could train your brain, but I think when most people are come from a place of despair and just not even agony, but like they just want more from themselves. Your brain is kind of like, this is how we want it to go. This is how it's going to go. And if it doesn't go this way, because it's not going to go this way, it will go this way. That's how the brain works. And then when you get there and you're like, it doesn't go that way, your brain, your body goes into like defense mode because you're like, what am I doing now? Because I prepared for this moment and now it didn't go that way.
A lot of people don't have the emotional skills and mental skills they need to handle that kind of adversity. Mm-hmm. That's why they get on the internet and say Macy's can't sell these plates. 8:23 with the morning reboot. We talked about that earlier. We will talk about two of the biggest stars in Hollywood with Once Upon a Time coming up with our friend Jeffy McGee on the way in the trailer game on Q105. 8:38 with the morning reboot on Q105. It's Eric and Floyd. Our pop culture superhero is here. I have some new music.
Accurate pose.
It is. Jeff, does it ring a bell?
Actually, no, believe it or not. So.
Okay, I did the same thing. And then he told me, I go, oh, Super Intelligence is going to hit you.
Super Smash Brothers.
I see. The fact of the matter is, a PlayStation gamer, not a Nintendo gamer, so Super Smash Brothers has not been terribly. But, you know, I have enjoyed Super Smash Brothers while I've played it. But how are you guys doing this morning?
Good.
We're okay.
I'm excellent.
Thanks for asking.
No problems.
Therapy session is now over.
I have always tried to be considerate in such matters, especially on a big movie week such as this, when we got a bazillion things of news coming out of Comic-Con. And this coming weekend for movie buffs is a big one because the 9th film by Quentin Tarantino is hitting this weekend, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, with both Leonardo DiCaprio and Brad Pitt. And the advanced reviews have been very good, obviously. Just beyond everything, I think a lot of people will be getting in for this one this weekend. And so, in honor of that, this week's trailer game is devoted to the respective careers of both Leonardo DiCaprio and Brad Pitt, or as I'm referring to it, Decapitation. And
I've never seen a Brad Pitt movie.
Oh, I'm afraid. I'm afraid you may be SOL then. Eric, Jeff, are you ready to win? Potentially yes. Win this one? Okay.
Yesterday we did movies that everyone has seen. Mm-hmm. You know that I don't do well on that list.
Yeah, I'm aware.
And you questioned me. Part of the beginning of that was a couple of weeks ago, you were surprised that I've never seen a Quentin Tarantino movie. I have not. But I'm pretty good with Leo and Brad.
All right. Well, we'll see.
Because if I can shut you out.
I tried to do my best to give a good cross section of both their careers and focus on there aren't going to be Babel or anything like that, any of the really relatively obscure movies by comparison. So we're going to go for the big hitters as we start with number one on the list, please.
How much money you make?
I don't know. $72,000 last month.
You show me a pay stub for $72,000 on it, I quit my job right now.
Wolf of Wall Street.
There we go.
Only reason why I knew that is because Jonah Hill's in it.
Yes, Jonah Hill is in it, and it is an awesome movie. One of the early, one of the collaborations between both Leonardo DiCaprio and Martin Scorsese, but very well done, Floyd.
A shout out for you.
Yeah.
Take that
the
one.
The shout out has been thwarted immediately.
Gentlemen, shout out.
All right. Gentlemen, so, sweep. Floyd won. Eric. Nothing. I'm just going to say that because it feels nice to say that at this moment. As we go to number two on the list, please.
Do you like what you do for a living? These things you see?
You have to wear blinders sometimes.
Seven.
That's Seven.
Rick, you gotta see it.
I've never seen Seven.
If you like anything I talk about, watch it.
Does it deal with people being in the basement?
Yes! Yes! There's a guy who's tied up and dead and it's cereal.
Are you serious?
It's mm-hmm. incredible.
It is a very good movie that might not be fun to watch anymore considering who the killer turns out to be. But it may not be fun anymore as a result of that. So, all right.
Was that Morgan Freeman's voice?
Yes, it was.
Ooh, so, I like that.
All right. So, Eric, one. Floyd, one. Number three on the list, please.
Mr. Cobb has a job offer he would like to discuss.
Deception.
My God. We didn't even get a step or two past that to even mentioning Dreams. You just heard Michael Caine's voice, and that was enough.
Mr. Cobb.
That was Leonardo DiCaprio as a dream expert, and about invading people's nightmares.
I've only ever seen two Leonardo DiCaprio movies.
Okay, so wait, you have never seen anything Pitt, and seen two Leonardo DiCaprio movies.
And I love the two that I've seen.
Which two?
Titanic and What's Eating Gilbert's Grape.
Great Gatsby.
On DVD, never bought it.
Oh,
I mean, never watched it.
All right, let's roll along.
All right, let's move along. Number four, please.
Seeing her coming out of the darkness like a ghost ship still gets me every time.
Take a look at this drawing that we found just today.
That's Titanic!
There it is. I'm like, you just mention it out of the top of the head, off the top of your head, just to go ahead and put it freshly in your mind.
I said it in my Judy Garland voice. That's Titanic!
All right, so tied at two apiece. So let's go to number five on the list, please.
I want you to hit me as hard
Fight
as
Club.
You can.
Yeah, why? You've never seen a Brad.
No, I want you to hit me. Fight Club. I've never seen Brad. Didn't that come up yesterday?
Came up recently.
Yeah.
That's not one that I think everyone has seen, but it's a great movie.
I think most people have seen Fight Club at this point. At least you know it's a cultural touchstone. I think most people at least have heard of Fight Club. Damn, and everybody knows what the first two rules of Fight Club are. So,
isn't it Don't Talk About Fight Club?
Correct.
See, I used to have straight friends. They told me.
Great movie.
All right, so Floyd, three. Eric, two. Number six, please.
It's never been done before. What's the target?
Ocean's 11?
There you go.
Sorry, I was actually saying it before I hit. Never seen it.
Really? Yep. Okay, we're going to have to change that one. I can happily loan you that one.
Never seen that movie.
I'll happily loan you that one too, Floyd. All right, so we have a tie game going into number seven on the list, please. This might be a tough one.
When I was your age, they would say we could become cops or criminals. What I'm saying is this.
The Departed?
Well done, sir.
What's The Departed?
Jack Nicholson, and apparently it's Scorsese, and it's very violent.
It's very violent, but very good. It's Leonardo DiCaprio and Matt Damon, actually, as a pair of I actually won't give that plot or the plot away, but I will.
It's been long enough.
Yeah, but it's a pair of one undercover cop who's undercover with the crooks, and one crook who's undercover with the cops. And it's a very well done movie, and it actually was finally the movie that won Scorsese his Best Director Oscar, which he had not won for the first 30 years of his career because Hollywood is stupid. All right, so Eric, well done.
I always confuse that one with, I think, the Ben Affleck Boston crime movie.
Yeah, I can see where you could, where that would happen. Are you referring to let's see, Gone Baby Gone or The Town?
The Town.
Yeah, that one came out a little bit after that one, but it was also part of the Affleck career resurgence time where he was directing a really good movie.
Well
so.
Done. You know what? If this were baseball, I'd come over and pat you on the butt. That was a nice performance.
If this was baseball, I'd be the Cleveland Indians.
I
gave you a good run, but I still lost. I said what I said.
With the way that we are on time towards the latter stages of the show, let's dip into stream, download, and watch.
Let's get into things that you can get on Netflix this week. The big thing is it's the final season of Orange is the New Black, which starts on the 25th. People have been watching the show. It's actually the seventh season, believe it or not, which for a Netflix show is a remarkable run. And it will finally be ending starting this Friday. And speaking of Brad Pitt movies and Quentin Tarantino movies, if you want to look at their previous collaboration together, Inglourious Basterds starts on Netflix this week as well, so you might want to check that one out. And just because it's silly, I threw in Paul Blart Mall Cop is now on Netflix.
I love that movie. So does my mom. She loves Kevin James. She does.
New on Amazon Prime, Hellboy. Yes, the new Hellboy that came out this year is already on Amazon Prime. So if you want to check that out without any financial obligation, there you go. I also want to give a shout out to a summer movie that I like. It's called Open Water.
Great movie.
Yeah, it's set in the middle of the ocean. It's a couple of swimmers who get abandoned and end up swimming amongst sharks. And it's really a long movie about the two of them.
It's a true story, right?
It may have been based on a true story, but I'm not sure.
We don't know.
Yeah, I don't know off the top of my head. But it's a very, very good and very tense movie for something that was made on such a low budget. Definitely worth checking out.
What do we need? Water.
Yeah. Also, The Spy Who Dumped Me, which is the comedy that came out last year with Mila Kunis.
And who is Kate McKinnon?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, you can check that one out on Amazon Prime as well. On Hulu, again, speaking of Tarantino, it's leaving soon. It's not coming in, but I do want to give a shout out to the original Tarantino, Reservoir Dogs, is on Hulu to watch until the 31st. So if you want to check that out, this week is the time. And also, they have put up Apollo 11. It was a movie that came out last year about the moon landing. Not Apollo 13. This is not the one with Tom Hanks.
Isn't it the one with a monster or something?
No. That's Apollo 17.
Oh, okay.
Or Apollo 19.
Okay.
Which is a different movie altogether.
Right. And fictional.
Yeah, this one is based upon the true story of the moon landing. So, and also The Last Man, which was an interesting concept for a horror drama with Hayden Christensen, of all people.
Sounds interesting.
About a combat veteran who has PTSD who meets a prophet, played by Harvey Keitel, of all people, and the prophet tells him to prepare for the end of the world. So that is on Hulu now. You can check that one out. A few Netflix family picks, and these are brought to you by Cadence and Kendra McGinnis. I'm going to go ahead and tell you that right now. My nieces helped me out with picking. They would like you to know that they would love you to watch on Netflix, Pocahontas is on there. If you haven't seen that classic, my niece loves Pocahontas, so she wanted to make sure to give that shout out. And on Amazon, Charlotte's Web, the new modern live action one that came out, although live action is a misnomer in anything where so much CGI is going on. We learned that from Lion King this past weekend. And I want to give this one a shout out because I can't believe this one existed. Hulu has the Legends of the Hidden Temple movie from 2016.
Oh, I thought that was like the TV series.
No,
I
got it's not. Excited. But they actually made a movie based upon that damn show. And if you're going to be preparing for movies based upon obscure Nickelodeon properties, now's the time, because in 2 weeks, the Dora the Explorer movie hits.
I'm ready!
Jeff, give me one more.
One more video on demand this week. Speaking of kids' movies, Ugly Dolls from earlier this year hits video on demand. If you're desperate for something for the kids to watch at home this week, there you go.
Was that the first summer flop?
I don't know if it was like the first summer flop, but it was certainly okay. There's been a lot of not necessarily flops, but
media
definitely
expectations.
Didn't live up to what they were thinking this summer.
No, so that Dark Phoenix certainly died.
You know what?
That's a dead bird.
Listen.
That thing hit every windshield it could. 849, thank you, Jeff.
Thank
Text
you.
Eric to 419-240-1055 to get our Morning Reboot podcast.